This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Eyre.
Hello, great to be with you.
And we're back down to Jim in the studio, Bridget at home. That's kind of a little temporary quarantine thing just to make sure everything is all settled as it should be. So that's why Bridget is distant today. Speaking of something that's not very distant, that is our auction, and it's not going to be a silent auction at the dinner like it has been in the past. It's not going to be a live auction like it has been in the past. It's going to be an online auction, and it'll be really simple. All you'll have to do by phone or by internet, get online, register, and we've got over 100 items and some really, really spectacular items as well. I mean, we have got flowers and wine baskets and handmade quilts and jewelry and good things to eat. We just got a candy basket from a candy manufacturer here in Indiana. And so just all kinds of great things. And we're going to have a lot of fun stuff, too. We've got two laps around the Indy 500 track in a real Indy 500 car with a real Indy 500 driver at up to 180 miles an hour. I'm not going to bid on that. There's a lot of people that say, oh, yeah, I got to have that. No, but maybe you want to bid on that. We've got a double-decker houseboat with a slide on it that you're going to rent and just all kinds of things. So that is going to be September 1st through the 9th. Over those 9 days, you'll be able to bid and bid as often as you want and tell your friends about it and everything like that. And hopefully that's going to replace some of the funds that we would have gotten had we been able to have our dinner as we normally would. So please help us out by bidding on the auction September 1st through the 9th at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
And that's coming right up, so get ready to do that at Catholic Radio Indy. Okay, well, today we're going to be talking about one of my favorite topics, evangelization, and specifically we're going to be talking about the new evangelization. Our guest today is Father Guy Roberts. He is pastor of St. Joan of Arc in Indianapolis. He is also the author of a parish manual on the heart of the new evangelization. So welcome to Faith in Action, Father Guy.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a joy to be here.
Well, you are not a typical Catholic priest, if there is such a thing. Maybe there isn't such a thing, but you have a really interesting background. I was able to watch, you were on the Coming Home Network, or the Journey Home show on EWTN with Marcus Grody. If anyone is familiar with that show, that might give our listeners a little clue about your background. You weren't even Catholic, so tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up as a Catholic priest, I guess.
Well, I started out life as a Baptist. My parents, when they married, decided they wanted to choose a church to raise the family in, and my father was sort of a nominal Methodist, and my mother's family didn't go to church much at all, so when they got married, they looked around and said the Baptist church looked good to them, so I was raised as a Baptist and great love for the scriptures and going to church, but just always felt, even from childhood, that there was something more than just the scriptures being proclaimed. The scriptures were wonderful, but they were kind of whetting my appetite for something more, and I didn't know what it was at the time. It was, of course, the sacraments, especially the Eucharist. So as I got older and began to research things a little more, I sort of began to flirt with the Catholic Church a little bit, but it was quite a leap from the Baptist Church into the Catholic Church, and didn't really have the right people in my life at that time to guide me, so I became Lutheran. I was Missouri Synod Lutheran for several years. Did my undergraduate at Butler with the idea of going on into the Lutheran Seminary, so had religion and philosophy undergraduate at Butler, and then went on to Concordia Seminary in St. Louis and studied there for the Master of Divinity another 4 years. And just before I was to get ordained, I decided, nope, I've been thinking about the Catholic thing this long, it's time to make the jump. So the Lord had opened the door at that time through a Catholic priest in Connecticut. I was doing an internship there before ordination, and they call it a vicarage year in the Lutheran Church. And so met Father George Loretti, and he's the one who sort of shepherded me and accompanied me into the Catholic Church. And so I ended up being picked up by the Archdiocese of Santa Fe, New Mexico, and went to Mount St. Mary's in Emmitsburg, Maryland, Catholic Seminary for 2 more years, and got ordained. So I was in the Santa Fe Archdiocese for about 8 years, and then asked to transfer back here home to Indianapolis.
Now, how old were you when all of this took place?
I was ordained when I was 30. So I normally would have been ordained at age 28 had I just stayed on course, but then I had 2 more years added on with the Catholics, so I was still a fairly young man when I was ordained.
We're talking with Father Guy Roberts. He's the pastor at St. Joan of Arc in Indianapolis. And one thing that's really comes to mind, or that I always think about when I hear people who have converted to Catholicism, they have such a different perspective than I think Catholics as it relates to the Eucharist. I feel like people that become Catholic appreciate it so much more than Catholics who kind of had it their whole life. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Have you come across that? I guess maybe has that ever been an observation for you, or maybe not so much?
Well, the Eucharist was a great draw to the Catholic Church, and the Baptists don't really have, they have maybe once a year a sort of a Lord's Supper ceremony. Lutherans, of course, they have two sacraments. They talk about baptism and Eucharist. Of course, as Catholics, we don't consider their Eucharist as valid, but just that hungering for the body of Christ, I mean, the Scripture's preparing us for that, and then actually getting to see and touch and receive Jesus. So, now, when I first became Catholic, I couldn't understand why everybody else in the Catholic Church was not as excited as I was about the Eucharist and about all the richness we have in the Catholic faith. So I guess as a convert, you come into it with your eyes wide open, and you really have that hunger for it, and you're not taking anything for granted. So,
well, I want to move on and talk about this parish manual called The Heart of the New Evangelization. Why did you write this? And I'm also looking at the cover of the manual, and there's a picture of Jesus kind of pointing to his heart. So maybe if you could talk about the image, what that means, and then maybe why you decided to write this.
Sure. Well, let me go in reverse order of that. When you mentioned my background. As a Lutheran, I was preparing to become an evangelist for them, which is a church planter, someone who would start churches in an area where there weren't any. And in fact, here on the north side of our archdiocese, right next door to St. Simon Catholic Church, is a Missouri Synod Lutheran church. I helped to start that one as a church planter. So it's kind of ironic. Right next door to the Catholic Church is the one that I helped to start is for the Lutherans. But I was preparing to be what they would call an evangelist, someone to start churches for them. And back in that time, you know, we're talking 25 years ago, it was a lot of door-to-door evangelization, inviting people. That doesn't really work so well these days. So, you know, I really was looking for a way to pin down what the church means when it says the new evangelization. And there's such rich writings about it. But then when you actually try to grab hold of it and apply it to real-life situations, it's like a slippery fish. It's very hard to get a hold on. So in 2015, I was granted a sabbatical, and I wanted to take that time to research the church's writings on the new evangelization and really begin to put something together that could be make it tangible. How do we put this into effect in the parish at the grassroots level? So to answer your question about that, that's the why, is you know, this wonderful writing about the new evangelization, but how to make it something that can actually be put into effect. So the cover is done by one of my parishioners. She's an artist, Kathy Caparo. I believe she's been on the show before. And when I came back from sabbatical, I told Kathy, I'm looking for a visual image that I can show to people and start a discussion. And I said, I'm picturing, and I described it to her, and she was able to put it together for me. So thank you to Kathy. But it shows Jesus talking to a couple groups of people, but they're really not two. It's the church. And the people that are seated on the ground are dressed in biblical-style clothing. So they're the people from Jesus' time. And then on either side of them are the backs of the heads of people that are sitting in pews in a modern church, and they're dressed in modern clothes. And the idea there is that new evangelization is not new. It's not a new creation. It's something the church has always done. So it's new in the sense that it is renewing to us, and it's something that the you know, the popes in recent years have called for to sort of renew an interest in, you know, what your question about why are converts such good Catholics, is to kind of renew that interest and for Catholics to see what we have already had and to have that excitement to share it with others. But Jesus is preaching to the crowds, and he has one hand pointing to his heart, and on the heart, which is visible through his clothing, is the face of the Father. And, of course, it's the traditional old man with the beard, so you know it's like from Daniel, the description of the Ancient of Days. And Jesus is pointing to his heart where the Father is enthroned. And Jesus, the idea there is Jesus and his humanity is the visual image of the unseen Father. And as Jesus would say, he who sees me sees the Father. And I like to point out in that image, because I like to show the full-size portrait to people when I'm doing discussions and say, tell me what you see going on in this. And I get all kinds of different answers. But say, you know, notice that Jesus is not pointing to his head. He's pointing to his heart. And the heart is really where our personhood lies, and it's where love lies. And Jesus is in the flesh as a human person, the greatest revelation of God's love. So I like to point out, you know, you never go up to somebody and say, I love you with all my head. You know, it just makes sense. I've thought it out and I've put together the pros and cons, and it would just be irrational not to love you. You'd say, oh, well, thanks a lot, but I want more than that. So Jesus points to the heart. I love you with my whole heart. And that's what Jesus shows us in his personhood and the way he lived his life and the gift of his life. So that's really what evangelization is doing what Jesus did, and that's revealing the invisible God. And the world is so hurting today to see God in the flesh, and that's what we have to be as the baptized for one another and for the world.
Now, when you use the term new evangelization, when I first heard that, I was thinking, well, that was a long time ago, before the internet, before Facebook, before, you know, all of the modern social media. When they say new evangelization, are they talking about new means of evangelization, new or new techniques or new message? What's new?
Yeah, prior to Vatican Council II, the church, the popes were saying, you know, what the world needs is a new evangelization, because the world had changed so rapidly from Vatican Council I. We had automobiles and airplanes and telephones and two world wars, and we had nuclear ability to blow up the earth. So the question is the gospel still relevant? And we need new ways to make that ancient, yeah, it's always relevant. That's the answer to the question. We know that. But how do we make it new to this generation? Because that's always the problem is, the same old way we've been proclaiming the gospel can become outdated and irrelevant, and we need to be sure it's always new for this generation. So that's really what the new and the new evangelization, it's the ancient, unchanging message, the truth, but it's always presented in new and fresh ways so that it's palatable to the generation at hand.
So is this something that the new evangelization has somewhat come out of Vatican II? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes, in my sabbatical, I went back and began to read the writings of the popes, and it was hinted at in some of the earlier popes, but specifically Paul VI was one who wrote about the need for a new evangelization, because he saw the world changing so much, and he said, we're going to get lost in modernism and science and technology, and when we do that, we lose the value of the human person, which is why the new evangelization has to begin with the person of Jesus Christ. It's not a verbal message, it's a person. He's the Word made flesh. So I went back and researched the popes, especially Pope St. John Paul II, and I'm so blessed to have been able to offer Mass with him in 2002, a Mass of about six priests at Castel Gandolfo. But the bulk of my research was from the writings of John Paul II over a number of years, and of course then following up with Benedict and now Pope Francis has had a lot to say about a new evangelization, but that's based on the, I think a lot of it was developed from the writings of John Paul II, and so I wanted to, he's such a deep writer and a prolific writer, I wanted to digest a lot of that and make it presentable in a more simplified form for people to grasp, so that's what the book really is based on.
We need to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to get back to the heart of Jesus as we talk about evangelization and how we can reach people through their heart. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
This is a one-minute announcement, so we're going to have to go fast. From September 1st through September 9th, we're going to have an online auction. You'll be able to bid as often as you want during that time at CatholicRadioIndy.org. What kind of items will we have? Well, let's see if we can get them all in here.
Water bottles.
Handbags.
A double-decker houseboat rental.
Jewelry.
Backpack.
Wine to drink.
Blankets.
Hand-sewn baby quilt.
Dinners with local priests.
Baskets of goodies.
Inner tubing down a river.
A ride in an Indy car around the Indy track.
There's golfing at Plum Creek.
A night stay at the Hyatt Regency in Fishers.
Hand-painted pictures and wall hangings.
Knocker ball for four.
What?
Knocker ball for four.
Inner tubing from Anderson to Broad Ripple.
Rental of an off-road vehicle at Indy's Badlands.
Johnson's Tasty Barbecue.
Teeth whitening.
Good books.
Coffee mugs.
A bourbon basket.
Cruises on the largest boat in Indiana.
Keep listening and visit CatholicRadioIndy.org for more details. That's CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. My guest is Father Guy Roberts, and we are in the studio with Jim Ganley, or Jim Ganley's in the studio. I'm actually recording from home today, and we're talking with Father Guy via phone and Zoom. So we're talking about the heart of evangelization and the new evangelization, and Father Guy has penned a parish manual for this, which is so relevant in our time today in terms of unpacking what this means and putting it in a practical way. So, Father Guy, I want to ask you, what exactly is the gospel message? And then I want to talk about the diagram in your manual.
Sure. Yeah, we usually think about the gospel as a thing. The gospel is the person of Jesus Christ. He's the revelation of God's love for us. And St. John Paul II was fond of saying, in Christ, God reveals man to himself. So we find who we are by knowing Jesus Christ as he reveals to us our humanity. We discover that we are his divine children. So Jesus describes the gospel at the beginning of Mark's gospel, basically 4 points. He says, time is fulfilled. We're not waiting around any longer. The time for salvation is now. It's here and now. The kingdom of God is near. Why is the kingdom near? The kingdom is wherever the king is, and the king has become incarnate and dwells among us. So the kingdom of God is here among us now through Jesus. And then he goes on to say the third point, repent. And that's a very welcoming call from God. You're sinners, but I want you to turn back, stop stumbling in the darkness, and find the right way that leads to salvation. And then finally, the fourth point, Jesus says, believe in the gospel. And the gospel is, of course, the person of Jesus, that God sent his Son into the world for our salvation. And salvation is certainly includes the forgiveness of sins, but it's also the teaching that shows us the way to the truth that makes life full.
I want to go back to that. Before we go to your diagram in your book, I want to go back real quick to the image of Jesus on the cover of the manual here, and it's pointing to the heart. Jesus is pointing to his heart, almost like an icon, the way you put that together there. It is really an icon. But do we have to, when we are engaged in evangelization or trying to bring people to Jesus, do we have to go through their heart? Or, you know, some people say that they read their way into the church, like through their head. Talk a little bit about the heart and how that relates to evangelization.
The heart represents the person, our individual personhood. And John Paul II would also point out it's where the Holy Spirit abides. So evangelization is never just a human activity. It always involves the Holy Spirit as well, working in our hearts. But also the Holy Spirit has to work ahead and prepare the soil in the heart of the other. But basically the pointing of the heart means it has to be a personal testimony. We can't. And John Paul II would say catechesis is important, but he calls it just one moment within evangelization. So catechesis, when a person sees your personal conviction, then the door is open. They see your kind of lifestyle. Then they can come to you and say, you're a Catholic, you're a Christian, tell me about your beliefs. And they'll know whether we truly are convicted or not, if we're really a follower of Jesus. And then we open the door to ongoing catechesis. But really the personal instance has to be there first. That personal connection, and then they become interested to learn more.
Yeah, and as you're talking, I'm kind of thinking back in my own life, and people can think in their own lives of how maybe they reach somebody, you know, to help someone, help somebody personally evangelize someone, and what worked and what didn't work.
Right.
I want to go back to your, I want to go to this graphic that you have, this diagram. Can you explain this to us?
Yeah, I'll try to give the listeners a visual. It's essentially a circle, and the circle has an arrow pointing down to one side. Basically, it's cyclical. So it starts off at the top of the circle, the encounter with Christ. And throughout the scriptures, when Jesus was evangelizing, we have so many stories, especially in John's gospel, of these personal encounters. I'm thinking of Zacchaeus, who climbed the tree to see Jesus as he was passing by. And, you know, the encounter with so many people like that, that it became a face-to-face encounter with Jesus, not just with what he was saying, but with his personhood. And then their lives were changed forever. So we have to encounter Jesus personally. And again, that's what we were just talking about. We have to be that personal face of Jesus. It's not just a postcard or a, here, take and read this tract, and then this will convert you. No, it has to be our personal witness by how we are living and showing that face. That leads then, once we've got their attention, then we have to go to the second thing on the circle, which is the personal call of Jesus. Jesus doesn't just say, hey, y'all. I lived and worked in eastern New Mexico against the Texas border for a little while, so you hear that y'all expression. So Jesus doesn't just put out the call, hey, y'all, anybody interested, come on. He calls us each by name, and that flatters us. When we hear someone say, you know, I love you for who you are, then the person waits for a response. So Jesus also says, hey, I'm giving my whole life to you. What do you say? I want you to be my disciple. And he's waiting for our response. He's straining to hear us. And we have to say, well, yes, Jesus, and that gets us hooked. Yes, we want what Jesus wants for us. That leads then, once we've answered the call and said, yes, I'm invested in this, then it leads to the third part of the circle at the bottom, which is the ongoing formation. A lifelong Christian is a lifelong disciple. It's a constant formation that leads to total transformation of life into the image of Jesus. And then that, only after we've been formed and transformed, are we sent by Jesus, and that's number four on the circle. We can't just go out until we're equipped. So we have to be sent by Jesus in his name, not in our own name, not in the name of our local parish, in the name of Jesus Christ. And in the center of that circle is the triangle, and in the middle of the triangle is the heart of Jesus. But the triangle, the three corners that always have to be there, it's like the three legs of a stool. When we're doing evangelization, how do we know if it's truly the work of Jesus? It's going to be, there's going to be a faith element, going to increase our faith and the faith of others, a service element, and there's going to be a community building element. So if one of those is lacking, that's really not evangelization. So faith, community, service always have to be a part of any evangelization project.
And when I was looking at this, you know, this diagram in the manual, it really, so much of what's in this circle is absolutely happening in the parish. How does this manual help people, and is there a place where they can get it? Is it easily available, or?
They can go to our St. Joan of Arc website, sjoa.org, and I just ask some of my staff to make sure that is posted on there, the electronic version of the manual. We only had a few of them printed. It's not a final draft. It hasn't been it's copyrighted, but I haven't published it yet because I wanted to see how it actually worked, and I intend at some point to do a rewrite of it. But purposely, I didn't want this to be a program because there's so many programs for evangelization that a parish can do for 6 weeks or 8 weeks, and then they put it away and they think, well, we did evangelization already. No. It's everything we do has to be evangelization. So this manual sort of helps every organization in the parish to focus on how what they're doing already is evangelization and how they can and make that more purposeful. So we don't want to have just one committee in a parish and say, oh, they do evangelization, the rest of us don't. All the baptized are evangelists.
Father, can you give us just a thumbnail sketch of what it's been like at St. Joan of Arc since middle of March? Things were normal before then, and then not so normal. How have you come through that?
Well, we've been really exploring the new evangelization, and the parish here, St. Luke also was trying it out for a little while, and that's where I'm using the parishes to kind of help me hone the manual for the actual publishing of it to see what's working and what's not. people are kind of scared of the chapter on the popes. So if you do download the manual, feel free to skip over the popes and come back to it later. I put that in there so you would know where it came from. It wasn't just Father Guy's ideas. But we've been purposely trying to implement it in the parish over the last 4 years and helping people to understand the language. And I think people, when I talk about the diagram now, the four principles, they understand it's the encounter, the personal call, ongoing formation, being sent by Jesus. They understand community leadership, community service, and faith. So the triangle. So, but it just takes time. And I told the people, this is not something we're going to do in 6 weeks. We're trying to build a culture. And it takes a while to establish that culture, to use the terminology, to think in those terms. And so no, it hasn't happened overnight.
So we only have a couple minutes left. So the manual itself, you're testing out in your parish, in St. Luke's parish, and then kind of seeing how it works, and then to develop a culture of evangelization, right? Am I hearing you correctly?
And Sean Hussey from the Archdiocese has just joined us at Joan of Arc for a 2-year commitment, and he's going to really help us to be more deliberate in implementing this in all the different ministries here at St. Joan of Arc, because that's what's been a challenge for me as pastor, and there's never enough time. time is of the essence, and we need someone that's deliberately doing this to make it happen. So, but I think Sean will gain some insights, and maybe he can share those with the rest of the diocese on how to more purposefully institute this or establish it as a culture in the community.
So we have just about a minute left. Would you be so kind as to offer a blessing over our listening audience this morning or today?
Sure, would be happy to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, you call us to yourself. You call us to share eternal life with you, but you also call us to your work of salvation here on earth. You call us sinners to do the work of salvation. So we ask that you'll bless us all in the work of the new evangelization. All who are baptized have received the grace to do so. We just ask you'll bless each of our hearts and each of our parishes and our archdiocese and the church throughout the world. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you, remain with you always. Amen.
Father Guy Robert, pastor of St. Joan of Arc here in Indianapolis and the author of The Heart of the New Evangelization, the Parish Manual, thanks so much for being our guest today.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.